So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Easy Conversations. Thanks a lot to everyone who listened to the last episode featuring the homie Matt and I. Hope you enjoyed listening to us give our breakdown of our favorite war movies of all time and getting into the Masters of the Air series. It's now for episode 134 of Easy Conversations. I'm extremely excited, of course, to be back in the studio virtually with the homie Matt. Say what's up to the people.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're having a good night right now. First off, Eric, welcome to the 30s Club.
Hey.
Very excited to have you.
Thank you.
And tonight's going to be a really fun episode because of our guest, one of my favorite guests ever that we have on. And we're going to be talking about something that's super pertinent right now. It's happening tonight. Eric, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be discussing?
It is. Well, first of all, thank you very much for welcoming me to the 30s. Happy to be here. Feel like I'm just entering my prime, you know? It's still a... Podcasting is a young man's game, and I think 30s is still very young. I'll just say that. But yeah, no, very excited to have to my left right now the homie, my brother, young Z, Zach Salou, making his, I think, 7th appearance on the pod. They just flying by here, kills it every single time. So very excited to welcome him back on, Zach. So what's up to the people?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for the great intro to both Eric and Matt. Always excited to be back. And yeah, 7th or 6th, 7th, 8th, something like that. But man, they are great every time. I keep coming back as I just love talking with you guys. So let's kill it tonight.
Yep. So like Matt said and Zach said, we're going to be talking about a topic that's very topical. It's my favorite time of year, to be honest. The NHL playoffs, the start of them, round one, there's always so much action going on. At least 2-3 games on every night. So... Yeah, I mean, it's just the best, right? A lot of great hockey. That's when teams have the most energy. There's adrenaline pumping. The teams that just squeaked in are excited to get in and prove the non-believers wrong. So for this episode, I think we're going to just go through each matchup that we have, give our thoughts on it, our predictions, and then maybe end up with some cup predictions at the end of this. So without further ado, I think a good matchup to start. We can go in the East first and then make our way over to the West. So start off with one we're more familiar with. Give some love to the President's Trophy-winning team, the New York Rangers, the number one seed, facing off against the very, I guess in a way, controversial 8th seed in the East, the Washington Capitals. So for this matchup, Zach, guest of honor, open us off. What are your thoughts on this matchup? What are you kind of expecting to see happen here?
Very quick. Obviously, we're going to get into it there, but I'm expecting 4 games out of this series. New York is looking like the real deal. They got a lot of experience. They've been in the playoffs for, God, I can't even remember how many years in a row now, but they just keep killing it, coming back with more form. Their young guys are looking better than ever. You're looking at a young guy like Alexis Lafreniere. He's finally becoming the guy that we expected him to become as the number one overall pick. Maybe not there quite yet. We still expect more from him, but you're seeing some of those flashy plays finishing. He finished just shy of 30 if he didn't clip 30 goals, but a lot of depth throughout this team. And Washington, well, they just barely squeaked in there, so that's really why I'm not giving them much love. I think they're going to be out in 4. And another point I wanted to make about this series, they're one of 3 teams from last year that make the playoffs this year that weren't. So pretty crazy just to talk about the NHL as a whole. There's 32 teams, 16 make the playoffs, and there's only 3 new teams that made the playoffs this year. So that's a pretty wild stat for you when you think there's going to be a little bit more change in the NHL year per year. Well, this year seemed to prove that a lot of the same dogs are back in the fight.
Great opening points. I'll just piggyback on that too, in that obviously President's Trophy winning team, heavy favorite. We saw a President's Trophy team, a record-setting team in the Boston Bruins, get knocked off last year by a kind of underdog story, Florida Panthers. I do not think this is that same situation though with the Washington Capitals. And I'll just say, if you're watching on YouTube, gonna have some lineups for the teams that we're talking about right now. We're looking at the forwards for the Rangers. I'm going to switch over to the Washington Capitals just kind of to display that these guys do not have the weapons that a team like Florida in the 8th seed last year had. I think only 2 of their guys scored over 25 goals, with Dylan Strome and Alex Ovechkin. So they just don't they don't have anything that can really be taken seriously in terms of depth. Like when Connor McMichael is your first line center in the NHL trying to knock off a juggernaut that is the Rangers, it's a recipe for disaster. You're burning the casserole. There's just nothing here. It's an old team. I'm surprised they, and that's another thing I want to talk about after Matt, you give your thoughts, but I don't even know how the Washington Capitals made it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
When you look at the Detroit Red Wings, who is a team that's kind of a new age rival to us Ottawa Senators fans, the Red Wings have not only more wins, but more regulation overtime wins, more goals for. When you look at all the tie-breaking metrics, they have all of that above Washington. So I'm curious to see if either of you guys know why Washington made it over Detroit. But maybe that's another conversation. But Matt, what are your thoughts on this matchup? I'm also thinking maybe Washington squeaks one win here. Short series, though. I don't think the Rangers are going to get tested too much here.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think quickly Washington made it in because maybe the heads-up matchup against Detroit, they may have beaten them. That's what I was led to believe, but we have to fact-check that. I'm with you guys. Rangers in five or even four. I love Shesterkin. I love their decor. They have two first lines. Like, their two first lines are unreal. Panarin upping his game every season, like, finished with almost 110 points, if not 110 points. Like, he's insane, and the depth of the Rangers is what's going to propel them to victory here. Washington, like, I go back to the game they played against Ottawa and we beat them in overtime or in a shootout. Like, they couldn't even beat the Sens. Like, they're not going anywhere. Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. Not super familiar with the third and fourth line of the Rangers. Maybe you guys can shed some light. I know they have Rempe, like the big goon guy, but do they have the depth to go all the way, guys?
I'll jump in there quickly. It's going to be an uphill battle to go all the way when you're looking at everybody else just in the East to start off with. Obviously, that's how you got to get to the Stanley Cup Finals for an Eastern Conference team. But I think as we're going to go through the other teams in the East, there's more depth to be found elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But what I do like, and I didn't talk about earlier about the Rangers, is I really like their decor. It's well spread out. Not only do you have an elite, possibly a top five D in the league in Adam Fox, who does a little bit of everything. But then you look at their other pairs, Braden Schneider and Keandre Miller, two young, tall, extremely fast, great skating defensemen on your second pair to shut down things. And then on your third pair, you got big Jacob Trouba, just an absolute killer back there. So to have that type of leadership and presence on your third pair, their decor is elite. Factored in, like you also mentioned, Matt, Shesterkin's a world-class goalie. So when you're factoring in all these things, especially talking in the playoffs, it bodes well to go for a deep playoff run, but they're going to be going up against some other Titans in the East, so we'll get to that as we go. And just lastly here, I have the stats in front of me there. So yeah, Panarin finished with 120 points. With 49 goals, almost a 50-goal season. Absolutely insane. He's fully living up to that monster contract he signed with New York. Happy to see it for him.
Big question for Panarin and the Rangers in general, though, will be, what are we going to see from Panarin in the playoffs? In his career, he has notably not shown up in the playoffs. Like, that's kind of been a knock on him. I think last year he might have ended up with 2 points in the games that they played against. Was it the Devils that knocked them off?
Yeah.
So that's kind of someone who's coming in there under scrutiny, and he's going to need to not only continue to play in the way that he did this regular season, but even maybe somehow find another gear if they want to have sustained success. Because I think once they get past Washington, it's going to get a lot tougher to beat whoever wins the New York-Carolina series. But after that, I think also if the Rangers were to have matched up with like a Tampa, for example, in that wild card spot, I'm not that convinced that they beat them, and if so, like, how much of a fight is Tampa giving New York and depleting their forces for a longer run? So I don't really, I'll just say right now, I don't really see the Rangers as like a true cup contender, despite the fact that they finished first in the league. That should be an indicator that they are one of the best teams in the league. I think if they're in the Atlantic, they'd be having a harder time to get through the playoffs. And another one to just shout out, when Zach, you're talking about the decor, the lone player, or one of the players you didn't mention, was Ryan Lindgren, who plays with Adam Fox, a very stout and defensively responsible defenseman who can kind of let Fox be that offensive dynamo and not have to worry too much about the defensive side of the puck. But Adam Fox, I feel like a big misconception about him is that he's all offense. He's phenomenal defensively. I'm pretty sure his like advanced stats indicate that he doesn't get scored on often when he's on the ice. A great puck transition mover. Amazing defenseman. Like Zach said, top five probably in the league. So they got a lot to like, but going forward, I'm not really sure about where they end up compared to the rest of the East. So that'd be it for me on the Rangers.
Yeah, all I want to add lastly is the Capitals are going to have to embrace their underdog status and really surprise the Rangers. And there's a world where that happens because it is hockey. Any team can beat any team. And it could be like another Columbus-Tampa Bay situation where Capitals sweep them or something ridiculous like that. But, I mean, it could happen, right? You ride the momentum. Washington is older, more depleted than ever before, but we'll see. I mean, it's hot. It's round one, guys. Anything can happen, right? So that's the only possibility I see is the Rangers taking them too lightly. But yeah, you guys were praising the defenseman. I watched the last game, the Rangers Islanders game, the regular season game, and like the Fox was such a treat to watch. And you like Truba's in your third pairing. That's a pretty good decor, right? Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. The Rangers, I'm picking the Rangers, obviously, and I think they can go quite far, but we'll get on that later. Yeah, that's all I got to say for this series.
Sounds good, Matt. And a point that you actually had posed to us and then we spin zoned into talking about the defenseman was on the question of the Rangers' depth. Just going to segue us into our next matchup to say how the Rangers, I don't think, have also the best depth up front comparing to this team, the Carolina Hurricanes, who are matched up against the New York Islanders. I think, I'll just say this, Carolina is going to smoke the Islanders. They're playing right now, as at the time of recording, it's 1-1 Islanders-Carolina. But I think Carolina has the borderline championship depth up front. Since making the trades for Jake Guentzel and Evgeny Kuznetsov, I think they've just bolstered an already very deep forward group that is kind of underrated across the board. Aho kind of leads that wave of perennially under-discussed star centers who's very defensively reliable as well and always puts up point-of-game production, Aho. Martin Nečas, super underrated. Svechnikov, despite his injury history, very good. Teravainen, underrated. And Seth Jarvis this year, having had him in my fantasy hockey team this year, has been a revelation up front who I think is only scratching the surface as far as what he can contribute two-way play in what he brings to the table. So I like Carolina a lot. Islanders are kind of pesky, though. I'll give them a game, maybe two, but my final call will be Carolina, 5 games, whooping the Islanders.
Oh. Yeah, I'll piggyback ahead, on Zach. That there. I agree. You know, I think it's not really a question here that Carolina is going to take this series. But I'll give a little bit more respect to New York. You know, like you said, they're a scrappy team. They don't give up. They got Patrick Roy on the bench making sure they're accountable for everything on the ice. I'm going to see this going to 6 games in this series. They got two good goalies in Varlamov, who's surprisingly starting and who's been playing great of late to help them get on this run going into the playoffs. And if he falls out, and well, they got a world-class in Sorokin waiting. As we saw last year with Florida, when Bobrovsky didn't start the playoffs, and then he came in relief. Well, we know what happened there. He rode them all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. So not really saying that that's going to happen for the New York Islanders here. But all that to say, if they decide to go with Sorokin and he gets going, he could make this more of an interesting series. Now to touch on Carolina. Eric, you made a great point about their depth. I'm looking at their stats here again. And they've had 20 goal scorers. Svechnikov would have been in there, but he only played 59 games and he came to 19 goals. The addition of Jake Guentzel, that's another 20 plus goal scorer. So they got about 6 20 plus goal scorers. And again, not always to make this about D, but they have quite the decor here as well with some big size, good puck moving defensemen as well. And You got a veteran in Brent Burns that does not want to lose. He's coming to the end of his career. He's been close a number of times, both with Carolina and San Jose. He knows he's fighting his last days here in the NHL. And with a really good team on his hand, they got a good start here against New York to build some momentum. I think they can ride this wave and go a little further into the playoffs here with quite a complete team here. So I'll leave it at that for Carolina for the moment.
You guys said a lot of great things. The Islanders, to me, are like that cockroach that just doesn't die. Like, their survivability is amazing. They're so pesky. Watching them play, they're frustrating to play against. I hate when Ottawa plays the Islanders because I know it's going to be hard. They don't have as much depth. They're like Carolina, but like less good. Like, they have good defense. They have good forwards, but just not enough like Carolina does. They're both teams are coached by great players in their time, right? Rob Brind'Amour has the Carolina Hurricanes like firing on all cylinders. This is why I'm picking Carolina to win and to go far as well. We'll get to that later. But like Carolina, every year they make it far, but then they just like they lose on the second round or third round. Like, but this year with the additions, like you guys said, I think they're gonna be a force to be reckoned with. I think they're just so well coached, guys. That's what it comes down to. Like, Ottawa is not well coached. Carolina is well coached. Look at them. Even when they didn't have the big names, they were still playing super well, super pesky. They're one of the hardest teams to play against in a best of seven. I think everybody in the world would pick Carolina over the Islanders here. The Islanders, too, didn't have the greatest record. They squeaked in third place of the division, but like, Carolina's just a powerhouse, guys. Like you guys said, everything you guys said was good. Is Frederik Andersen going to do the job? Probably. He's solid for that, right? So, yeah, that's all I got to say on that series. Carolina should be like a lock.
Yeah, I know it's probably like an easy one to just hop off because we have some more interesting ones in the East. Just want to say, like, on the point of Frederik Andersen, if he's not going, I think they got a stud in Pyotr Kochetkov. The games I've seen of Carolina when he's been in nets, he looks super confident and like a star in the making potentially. So they start Andersen. If he kind of falters, you go to Kochetkov and you can be very confident that he could be the guy to bring them there, like a young Cam Ward did back when they won their cup in back in the day, you know. So
'04.
Yeah, I think yeah, so. '04.
Like
I'm always confused between '04 '06. Like, I just get mistaken between those two. So that's why I didn't want to commit there. Okay, you know, the '30s. I'm not forgetting some things here and there. But anyways, so no, Carolina, fantastic team. Like you said, they've always been around but never gotten over that hump. So I think this could be the year that they actually do take that next step. It's the most complete team I've seen of them in a while. And I don't really know if this is a story to monitor, but they have a few young guys that they signed out of college who could be just black aces right now skating with the team. If injuries were to occur, which they always do in the playoffs, they got a couple of young guys who could potentially step in and be difference makers. Jackson Blake, Bradley Nadeau, Scott Morrow, and all just names to keep in the back of your mind to see if they, when given the chance, can contribute for this team. So they're set up for the future as well. They're not a cup or bust team, in my opinion. I think they still got a few more years of dominance ahead of them in the East. So I'm good on Carolina. Islanders don't really have anything else to say on them. I think they're going to get, like I said, they're done.
Yeah, I'm fine with moving on too.
Sure. Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, both teams. Okay, like, would we be. Tampa can always be dangerous in the playoffs. Like, I'd be crazy to say, like, that Florida is going to trounce over the Lightning, like, trample the Lightning, because Tampa in the last 10 years have been amazing in the playoffs, and they can rekindle that Lightning, that magic, and Vasilevskiy can find his game, and they have the best player, arguably, in the world right now, Kucherov. It's an unreal season for the ages. I've never seen that. It's fun having him in on my fantasy team. That's about all I have. Anyways, like, it'd be crazy to dismiss Tampa. However, we have Florida here, which I'm picking as favorite over Tampa, even after everything I just said. Just because they have so much depth and they're scary. Like they want it this year. They lost in the finals last year. This year they're freaking hungry. They just want it, and they're gonna do everything in their power to take it. Bobrovsky, that's the only question mark. Is he gonna get hot? Probably. But yeah, no, Florida just has all the weapons, guys. But like players like, is Tkachuk gonna show up? Barkov, like Verhaeghe, like I don't know. Reinhardt had a great season though, so I don't know, their first two lines are first lines. I'm picking definitely Florida. You guys can elaborate more on the players, you guys are more knowledgeable, but two Titans facing off in the same state, but I think the Panthers are going to be hungrier, guys.
Yeah, this is definitely the series I'm most excited to watch every single game of it, hoping it goes to seven games, because that's just going to be some A-plus hockey. Battles nonstop. I'm expecting near fights after every single whistle in the offensive zones, respectively. Scrums in front of the goalies nonstop. It's just, this rivalry has been building up for a past couple of years now. Florida never seemed to be able to get past it. And then finally last year, I know they didn't play each other, but they were able to get on this magical run, anchored by the amazing play of Sergei Bobrovsky, and they had a couple of other players that really stepped up in the playoffs. You're looking at a Matt Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe, like you already mentioned, Matt. But no, it's going to be one for the ages. And when I'm looking at Tampa's roster here, they have obviously one of the best wingers of all time in Nikita Kucherov, coming off a historic season. And then they have a legend in Steven Stamkos. Braden Point playing fantastic hockey once again, as he always does. And he's always a playoff performer. Brings it every year, always scoring clutch goals. But then, offensively, they don't excite me that much. They got those big three guys. No, Hagel does not excite me, as Eric just pointed at, which I'm sorry, that's not, he offers depth, but I don't know. It's nothing that when you're looking at against, if they were playing Washington, sure, he might pop off, but they're playing Florida, and that's just something you got to notice too. But I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to be a difference maker. And but the thing about Tampa too, they're D's are a little much thinner than they used to be. When they used to have McDonough back there helping out in those cup runs, that's a huge factor in that third pair still logging a lot of minutes. Now they're stretched out pretty thin back there. Sergachev practiced back today, which would be a massive add, but that doesn't mean he's going to come back in and be game ready or be playoff ready. So you're going to be leaning heavily on Hedman, as they've been all year. Cernak is a force, but he doesn't do much more than being your perfect defensive guy. And then when you're looking at everybody else, they're thrilled with the Dumba acquisition, but I don't think he's doing much for them. So I'm bashing Tampa quite a bit here. I still liked them. I still think they're going to put up quite a bit of a fight. But you look at Florida and the depth they have, the acquisition of Tarasenko, putting him on the first line with Barkov and Reinhardt, that's just scary. And then your second line with Verhaeghe, Bennett, Tkachuk. Again, another team where you don't even know what's your first line. They got two elite 1A, 1B situation here. The third line got a little bit more youth, a lot of speed there that can still be dangerous. And just a good balanced decor. You got Montour and Ekblad, I'd say, that are leading the way. But you also have a veteran skill guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson on your third pair, who's putting important minutes on the second power play unit. He can be an X factor, just pop in. If you get one or two goals from an older D like that, that's huge. And I really think he can do stuff like that in the playoffs for them, playing against weaker matchups. So overall, I'm going Florida in seven here, just to summarize after my rambling on this series.
Yeah, didn't leave me much there, but let's see what I can add here. Just to add, we got Florida's lineup or forwards in front of me right now. Verhaeghe on the second line, I feel like you can even move him down in the lineup if you need to, and even put Nick Cousins on the second line with Bennett and Tkachuk. That makes an ultimate bunch of rats on a line in the playoffs that can, all three of those guys can drive any single opposing player bananas, and that's what you want in the playoffs. Like, Florida is honestly stacked up front, especially, and I think all their defensemen, like Gustav Forsling, very underrated. I heard that he and Barkov have only been on the ice for an insanely low number of goals for at 5-on-5 this year. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's insane how few times these guys have been scored on the ice when they're both on the ice together. So Barkov, an absolute stud too. Was one of the most underrated players in the world for so long. Now he's kind of recognized as a very, very good player. But he just brings in the playoffs. Tkachuk is a playoff dog. Reinhardt coming off career year. You guys have kind of said it all for Florida. Mm-hmm. And my gut is telling me it's Florida. It has to be them. I think Toronto dodged a bullet in not having to play Florida.
Yeah.
That being said, despite what Zach said about Tampa, that they don't match up, they don't have the depth on Florida. Their defense isn't really what it used to be. Cernak used to be an incredibly defensive player, but now I feel like he's kind of fallen off. They don't really have anyone else other than Hedman, Sergachev. Who knows what he's going to look like? For some reason, I'm picking Tampa in this matchup, and this might be a crazy pick. This might be you look back at the record books and what am I thinking? But I'm thinking the year that Kucherov just had is not it for him. He's thinking, I got one more in me. Our core is getting a bit older. There's the status of Steven Stamkos as pending UFA. In my heart, I think he's going to stay. They're going to make it work for him in Tampa. Hopefully not Toronto. But I think with that uncertainty, maybe this is the last ride for them. They go all in and go on a bit. I'm not saying I'm picking them to win the cup here, but I'm saying I think they have more to give and could upset Florida here. The biggest X factor is possibly the best player in this series, if he can get back to form. Andrei Vasilevskiy has proven that he can steal series and is that Conn Smythe winning. He's the big cat. I mean, when the game's on the line, he's the guy you want in nets, or he was a few years ago, and I still think he has that game in him. So, like Zach said, it's the series I'm probably the most excited for because I think these are two incredible teams that hate each other. One is trying to prove that they're the new top team out of Florida. You could argue that Florida already is that team, but until you do it in the playoffs, doesn't matter. So I'm looking forward to this series. And like, again, Zach said, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov connection in the playoffs. Look up the 2020 and 2021 NHL playoffs, the highlights of Tampa Bay. Look up Braden Point every goal of both those playoff runs. The guy was clutch as it gets. There hasn't been a player as clutch as Point in the 2020s. Definitely not in the playoffs when it matters most. Tie game, 54 seconds left, gets sprung on a breakaway, forehand, backhand, five hole, elevates his team to the next round time and time again. He had 14 or so goals, I think, in both those playoff runs.
Wow.
He's the guy, and I mean, Kucherov just had a year for the ages. Like I said, he's not done. So I'm picking Tampa here, but obviously I think Florida is one of the best teams in the East, if not the league, so I won't be surprised if they win, but very excited for this series. Tampa in seven.
Yeah, no.
I love it, Eric. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Tampa, this is the closest series in the East, most likely, and like it's not crazy that Tampa beats them, so I like your pick, Eric. It's going to be a great matchup. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of giving you a hard time there for picking Tampa, but it's definitely not crazy because for the first time in couldn't tell you how long, they're the underdog. They've never been in this position. There's no pressure on them. No one's expecting them to win. So they can come in here and shatter all these crazy expectations that everyone has on for Florida. So Tampa can just bust that up really quickly. As well, like you mentioned, Vasilevskiy, huge X factor. He's also, I think in the last 10, 15, he's been looking a lot more like himself. It's pretty rough when you're missing the first, I think it was like 15 to 20 games of the year, and then play almost 95% of the games coming into the home stretch here. They use him like crazy to try to make sure they get their spot back in the playoff after you miss your number one, debatably your best player. Well, not really when you have Kucherov, but anyways. So those are two great points. So yeah, no, I think I wouldn't be that surprised if they were able to pull up the upset. But still, Florida, here we go.
I think we're good to move on to our last matchup of the East. The one honestly, I said Florida at Tampa is the one I'm most excited for. It's probably a lie because whenever the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the playoffs, there's no game I want to watch more and rage cheer against the Leafs more than whatever game that they're in. So Boston, Toronto, let's go Boston. Please take these clowns down. I was beaming when Matthews didn't get his 70th goal. I'll just say it now. I did not want him to get 70 goals. The guy, I mean, hey, all-world player, and I'll just go on the record to say, if he was on, like, the LA Kings, I'd be his biggest fan. Well, maybe not, but I'd be cheering for, I would have been rooting for him to get 70. It's the Leafs. It's always the Leafs. I'll always hate them and their players. I think this is going to be a great series, though. That being said, I'm a bit worried about the Leafs. I think Boston has had their number forever, honestly, since like 2013 is the furthest back that I can remember. And they've kind of been the boogeyman for the Maple Leafs. Everyone knows the storyline of the first round that they could never get out of. Well, they finally got over that, exercised their demons last year against Tampa, and then got whooped by the Florida Panthers, and I was loving it. But now this time, I feel like it's kind of a poetic situation. They get to match up against Boston. And if they were to beat Boston, then it's truly not only are we again able to win in the first round, but we finally beat, like I said, the boogeyman. And now let's go on a bit of a run here. Now, maybe getting ahead of myself. I like Boston a lot. I think they're a very good team. Defensively and in nets, they're much stronger than Toronto. But the forwards worry me a bit. I like Toronto has those weapons up front that Boston, other than Pasternak, maybe Marchand, like he has been a good playoff performer in the past and is still very good. They don't have those like top dogs. That being said, Toronto's not clutch in the playoffs. So am I even picking a side here? Am I making a stance at all or just listing kind of facts? I'm cheering for Boston, but I do think, unfortunately, I think Toronto is going to beat them this year. I think it's going to be a Game 7 matchup. I'm not saying that as a jinx. I'm cheering for Boston, but my for some reason, gut is telling me that Toronto is going to get it done. Now, Zach, Boston fan over here rocking the Bobby jersey, pass it on to you, and give me a reason to believe that Boston can beat Toronto.
Well, you made some great points there. The biggest thing around Toronto for, God, so many years was that they couldn't get out of the first round. Well, they finally did that last year, so I don't want to just repeat what you said, but that was a big point. Now, for Boston, what I love about Boston when I'm looking at them against Toronto is that they got two fantastic goalies, and I can't say that Toronto even has one. You're looking at Samsonov and Wall. Wall, like, I don't know, he's had maybe a couple of good games, a couple of stretches, but then he gets hurt, collapses, he's done. Samsonov is even worse. Every single game, you have no idea what's going to happen. He can make a fantastic save and then let the worst goals in. So that's the biggest difference, I would say, between these two teams is that when you're looking at playoffs and tight series that it should be between these two, you're going to look at the goaltending, and Boston definitely has the edge here. So I'm really excited about that for my Bruins for the playoffs here. And then you're looking at defensively too. That's another edge on defense. We got Boston Bruins. So that top pair, Charlie McAvoy, stud. Absolutely fantastic two-way D, can do it all, can log those heavy minutes. Playing with Hampus Lindholm, who is a very underrated D, he had a fantastic season. So you're looking at an all-class first pair D. And then your second pair D is also really good. One of my favorite Ds on this team, Brandon Carlo. Everyone forgets about this guy during the regular season because he doesn't get many points. But then every single postseason you see online, the Spit and Chicklets guys are talking about it. Holy, this Brandon Carlo guy is really good. Well, yeah, he is all year. It's just now all the eyes are on them during the playoffs, and everyone realizes how important he is to that team. So that's huge. Now I'll just bring it over to for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a lie. Morgan Riley is a really good defenseman. I've always really respected his game. He's a really high-end defenseman. Huge drop-off after that. Huge. They got Simon Benoit, who they're falling in love with. I hear Leaf fans talking about him like he's the second coming of Christ. He's got nothing on a Brendan Carlo as your second pair D. Jake McCabe can throw in a heavy hit here, but he's good for 6 turnovers a game. Ilya Labushkin on the first pair with Morgan Riley. Like, come on. This is lopsided, in my opinion, when you're looking at the defensive core for Boston over Toronto. But you got to give the edge for Toronto offensively. I can't really say you can wash Matthews with Pasternak because the center ice position is, I would say, still more important in this aspect. So just because Matthews will cover more of the ice, he's more noticeably in the defensive zone than a Pasternak. Offensively, I could say they're pretty equal. Obviously, Matthews got the edge this year with a historic 69-goal season. You got to give him respect for that. But Pasternak, by himself, put up 110 points. The next guy on his team has 67 points, for God's sakes. That's insane. So you got to give a lot of respect to Pasternak.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I'm a little biased here, hating the Leafs and loving Boston, but Pasternak is insane. And like I said, I'll repeat myself. He's doing it by himself. I'm not going to do quick, fast math here, but 43 points. Okay, I guess I did. 43 points more than the second guy on his team. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm pretty sure Nylander had just shy of 100 points this year, give or take. So Matthews isn't the only one carrying the load for Toronto. But again, that's to my point why Toronto has such a big lopsided offensive depth compared to Boston. Anyways, I'll summarize here by saying I'm taking Boston in 6. Biased, obviously, but Toronto, I feel if they lose 2 of the first 3, they're crumbling, and I think that's going to happen. People are going to realize that they got all horny when they signed Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi in the offseason and said that they're going to make this team go all the way in the playoffs. Well, I hate to break it to you. That's not happening. They're going to be out in the first round.
Let's go.
I'll pass it off to you, Matt.
All right. You guys said amazing things there. I love it. My thoughts. First, the Leafs do look good on offense. Like, I think the acquisitions of, like, Bertuzzi and Domi is going to help bolster their team. Like, it bolster pest level in terms of the quality of their grinders has gone up. Guys like Matthew Knies, skilled player, like, that's going to help. Although they have notable no-shows in the playoffs there. You know, Nylander, Marner, Matthews, Tavares, they haven't, like, shown us what the winning teams have, what their best players have done. And so the Leafs, super flashy up front, kind of like they're like a glass cannon. They're all offense. They crumble defensively in goal. And that is why I'm picking the Boston Bruins to win this series. The nucleus of Boston, like, their core and their defensive and goal, their defense and the goalie will win this series. Their structure, their poise under pressure, their maturity, and the historically, like, they've always been Toronto. That's a psychological advantage right there. They already in their heads are like, okay, we can do this. The Leaf, the Toronto media too is gonna hinder the Leafs' ability. They're gonna put pressure on the Leafs, and it's all like, the Leafs have almost already lost, like, they have lost the psychological edge already because people are already saying, oh, Boston's going to win again. Like, it's going to, I can't wait for tonight's match, guys. I'm not going to lie. God. I'm going to have to have the Blue Jays and the Leafs game on beside each other. But I think Boston just wins with their veterancy and their solidarity and maturity and poise, like I just said. So I'm picking Boston. No more needs to be said. You guys said a lot of good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go Boston.
Yeah, no, I agree, Matt. Like, I like it a lot. I'm hoping that's the case too, and I'll be cheering for Boston almost as much as Zach, for sure. So I'm very excited for this one. Starts up tonight. And yeah, I mean, I don't really think we need to say anything else there.
Nah.
The only thing would be, like, if Toronto were to move on, like, they got another tough matchup in Florida or Tampa. So their road to the finals, even if they do squeak by Boston, is far from over. So let's just enjoy this series and the East in general. So before we move on from the East to the West, if you had to pick one team, we've all made our kind of predictions for each series. Which team do you see coming out of the East? Zach, guest of honor, throw it up to you first.
All right. Well, first, I just wanted to make one final point for Boston here is you best believe they're not letting the final call of Jack Edwards be a loss to the playoffs to the Leafs. So they're going to make sure that hero goes out with a win against Toronto. But kidding aside here, the East, as we've talked about through all these series here, it's going to be a dogfight. For the one team to come out is pretty tough to predict. There's so many things that can happen in the playoffs here, but I'm going to go with Florida. Florida, I guess you can say it's an easy pick, but you know what? There's a few teams that really you could choose here, and I'm going with them. They just have unfinished business from last year. You know, I think they've matured throughout just a couple of their players with the realization that these chances only come once or twice in a lifetime here. They were so close last year, and they, like, you're looking at a guy like Sam Reinhardt, who for all we know is his last season in Florida. I'm sure he's made great relationships with those players, and what better way than to cap off your best year of your career by finishing it off with a Stanley Cup, well, at least potentially going at least to the finals like I'm predicting here. But I just think they have the depth, the decor, and the goalies to go at least to the Stanley Cup finals.
It's a great pick. Matt, what is your pick for the East?
I mean, it's going to be boring. It's the same as Zach, Florida. Just because they were there, they were in the final two last year, I think that's what's going to make them go in the final two again this year. They know what it takes now. They've matured. Just the fact that they lost last year, like, they were on the ice for the ceremony, but they weren't the winners, like, that's going to give them the freaking kick in the ass to make it all the way again and win this time, possibly. So, Florida for me.
I like it. Honestly, like, I'm kind of leaning Florida too, even though I picked Tampa to beat them. I love Florida's team. Like, I'll just say, I'm a big fan. I think they have all the pieces that you need to win and get to the Stanley Cup Finals for sure. My pick's going to be the team I'm watching right now. I've got Carolina making it to the end. I think while right now they're, from what I'm seeing, not playing that great against the Islanders, I think it's kind of a testament to the Islanders' style of play that they can clog things up and not make it too easy for you. I still stand by they're going to get by the Islanders for sure. I think they'll beat the Rangers. And then that Atlantic team that makes it to the finals, to the conference finals, is going to be a big, big test. But I think Carolina, they got all the pieces again, kind of like a Florida, but maybe even play a more structured style of game than Florida does, which is a bit more just all offense. Carolina knows how to play that shut down with the defensemen that they have, I think is edges out Florida's D. So, and their goaltending is a 1A, 1B situation. So I like Carolina making it to the finals. That's my pick out of the East.
Solid.
I just, I don't know. I just read this morning, so I just had to throw it out there, not to give you a shot or anything, but like Florida, I think we're like third least goals against in the league this year. So I wouldn't necessarily say they're all offense, but no, I know what you mean there. Carolina's a really well-coached team there, but I just thought it was funny. Yeah, I think Bob and their backup there, Stolarz, finished like 3-1 respectively for goals against average. So not to completely dismiss your comment, but no, it's they're good defensively.
And that's the thing too, right? So I don't really watch all these teams play all year long. That's the beauty of the playoffs. Finally get to see these teams that we've seen. We've read the articles. We know how good they are defensively, right? So now you kind of get to see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And we're really going to get into those kind of teams with the West that traditionally they play much later. So not everybody's trying to stay up till 12:30 in the morning to catch a Vegas Golden Knights game. So we don't really get to see all of that much of them. So that's what's nice about the playoffs. We tend to power through and watch a bit more. So first matchup, the Western Conference conference winning team, I guess, with the most points, the Dallas Stars, facing off against the league villains at this point, the Vegas Golden Knights.
100%.
Wow.
I'll just say, I'm all in on Dallas taking down the Knights. I absolutely despise Vegas. And that's not a controversial take at all. Most people agree that they don't want to see the Knights go far again. They just won the cup. Good for them. Good for Stone, whatever. But the last thing I want is Stone to win again. I do not like Vegas, how they kind of go about their business in cap circumvention. And just how, like, the timeliness of it all, right? Stone is slated to, it looks like, play in the first game. Pietrangelo, kind of same thing. Let's say he misses the first game, he'll be in game two. So they're kind of like a $100 million team going up against a team like Dallas, which I don't know what their cap situation is. But Dallas is a stacked team that plays by the rules. They're diligent rule followers and a team that I think has the makeup of a cup-winning team. They got a mix of veteran leaders and point producers, up-and-coming stars, and even up tier below that, rookies who have been impact players as well. So they got the kind of three tiers that you're looking for, and the depth is great. I love Rupe Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski. The guy's the ageless wonder, Joe Pavelski. Yeah. He just continues to produce. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, and Matt Duchene, in my books, big surprise in how well they did this season. I know Seguin was injured quite a bit, but Duchene signing in Dallas, I did not think he'd have the kind of impact that he did this year, statistically anyways. So I'm looking forward to see what he does in the playoffs. And then it's those that next tier of players, like a Wyatt Johnson, who was a rookie last year, had a great year, very under the radar. You wouldn't really have heard of him too much. Took a step forward this year, 30 goals, and played a good two-way game as well. It's just scratching the surface as to what he can bring to the table. I'll just kind of stop on the forward so you guys can get into some other aspects of their team. But I just love what Dallas has to offer offensively. And another reason I'm picking them is because all their stars, like a Robertson and Hintz, for example, monster years last year. I think they kind of blew their load, so to speak, in last year, giving it their all in the regular season. Then when the playoffs came around, they didn't have that much left in the tank this year. This year, they weren't relied on all as much in the same way as they were last year. So it could be spread out a bit more evenly. They're more well-rested. And when it matters most, the playoffs, they'll be ready to produce and clutch up for the team. So that's kind of where I'm thinking that while you look on paper, Robertson, whoa, step back. No, he's still a young superstar who has not lost a step. If anything, he just knows to save his energy for when it matters most. Opposite of Austin Matthews scoring 69 goals in the regular season, it doesn't matter. And then the playoffs are not going to do anything because Boston's going to win in six games. Zach, I'll pass it off to you now. Jeez. What do you got to say?
Actually, I wanted to pass it off to Matt. I feel like I've been rambling a lot here. Before I just start saying everything there is to say. So, Matt, I'll let you jump in here.
No, I don't mind when you guys do that because you guys know all the players and stuff. But the decor of Dallas, I'm just going to piggyback off Eric because I agree with you, Dallas. I'm picking Dallas over Vegas. I want them to beat Vegas, same reasons as you, Eric. But like Tanev, Heskinen, Harley, like they have really exciting defensemen. I didn't even know who Thomas Harley was till he dropped on my fantasy team. And then I was like, oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Really stud. Clutch player. Their goalie, Ottinger, really solid. It's time, I think, for Dallas. Like, we always see them have good teams. I think it's time they start advancing further in the rounds. And I think this is the year. Although, never bet against Vegas, right? Ever since joining the league, they've been infuriatingly good. And it's time for the Knights to become Squires again. They skipped that stage. They became the Knights right away and were crowned like 6 years after they entered the league or something stupid like that. So it's time for Vegas to be squashed. But I mean, you look at the Vegas team, they're still a good team, but you know what? Dallas is powerhouse status right now. Hopefully, like Eric, you said, with the veterans, the veterans, the stars and the up and coming stars, like hopefully they squash the stupid Knights and we see different teams in the first. It'd be fun to watch Dallas in the Final Four and the conference final. It'd be cool. I don't hate any of the players on Dallas. I want them to advance. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, I know. I'll start talking about Vegas there because I feel like we haven't talked much about them there. They're still, sure, they finished, seventh or eighth? Eighth in the West. But I definitely don't think they're an eighth place team, especially in this, it's a tough Western Conference. But anyways, all that to say, They got good depth, and that was their biggest force, I feel like, last year. Their star guys came through, but they also had fantastic third and fourth line production last year that was massive for them in winning the Stanley Cup. So when you're looking at it there again this year, they still have a lot of the same players. They have a few few injuries, but it seems like they're miraculously coming back at the perfect time. Big surprise. those fuckers. Anyways. the Vegas Golden Knights are anchored by a... Honestly, I still think this guy's underrated. Jack Eichel is insane. He is a fantastic centerman. He does a lot of proper things. You look at him, you think he's all offense, but he's very good defensively. He's got a really, really long stick, and he uses it to its advantage to take away plays, shut down plays. Similarly to Mark Stone, as we all know, he's a world-class takeaway specialist. He's very good defensively. So you got to give a lot of credit to Vegas. And then with the acquisition of Anthony Mantha, a big underwhelming to what you thought he was going to come in when the NHL, but he's still a very reliable winger, big body. He uses it to his advantage and can still put the puck in the net. You got Tomáš Hertl, which is a star in the NHL for many years, hasn't been quite himself this year dealing with injuries. He hasn't been that great with Vegas so far, but again, it's tough when you're going to a new team, you're injured, you're trying to get yourself back into game shape, back into the lineup, playing with new players, all of that. So if he catches fire, that's just another weapon they have. And their original star players in Vegas in William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault. Marchessault has to be the most quiet 40-goal scorer this season. I had no idea he had 40 goals, so kudos to him. Just a fantastic player in his own right. Chandler Stephens. Like, they got so many weapons, so you can't dismiss them, but... I will join on your side, boys, and agree that I'm all in on Dallas. I'm sick of seeing Vegas. Another acquisition I forgot to mention about was Noah Hanifin. Like, there's too much going on in Vegas. Like, get the hell out of here. Let's go with Dallas. Let's look at their team now. You guys mentioned a lot of great points. They got insane depth. I was talking about 20 goal scorers earlier for Carolina. Well, Dallas is insane. Well, I'm sure there has been. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. They have 8 20-goal scorers. That's crazy. You're looking at basically 3 lines that a guy can score every 4 games. And I was looking at their recent stats. In the last 10 games, I believe the scoring has been perfectly split down between the top 3 lines. So try shutting that down. You're not just worried about one guy on the first line, one guy on the second line. No, there's about every player on the ice for the top 3 line that can score 1 in 4 games, if not more. So that is by itself a very scary stat for the opposing team. You guys mentioned the goaltending. You guys mentioned the D. Dallas has a well-balanced team. And I'm looking to see Wyatt Johnson and Logan Stankoven take it to another level in the playoffs. These two young studs are so fun to watch. They're elite hockey players. Skill is off the charts. They're going to be scoring some great goals in the playoff when it matters most. I'm really excited to watch this team in the playoffs and kick the Vegas Knights out of the playoffs this year. Let's go.
Need it for sure. No, Stankoven's another guy I'm really excited to see. Like, he was highly touted in being kind of an undersized player that they weren't sure how was going to translate to the NHL. And in his short time there has proven that he belongs. He's not going to sniff the AHL again. And having him on that third line with Johnson and Jamie Benn, just another weapon for Dallas that they didn't really need. But now it's just another reason to really believe in them as the team that can make, like you said, Matt, the Knights return to their lowly squire form. So let's go Dallas, take them down. That's what we're all trying to see here. And like you've both said, Ottinger, he's a cup winning caliber goaltender.
Absolutely.
A true number one goalie, young goalie that I think if he dials in, which I think he has been playing much better lately, he struggled a bit at the start of the season. Now he's found his game, dialed in when it matters most. So I'm very excited to see that series play out. But like you both said, you can't sleep on the Knights. They're a motherfucker of a team. And, when all those hurt guys step back in
on game
one,
it's
gonna be a battle. So, and I'm looking forward to it.
Wait, did we even say how many games we think the series are going?
I think Dallas is gonna take in 6 here.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
6 or 7.
Yeah, I think we can agree it's gonna be a long series. think we'd all be miserable if Vegas takes this in four and we all just seem like clowns, 100%. But let's hope that's not the case.
And honestly, Vegas is such a tough draw for the team that finished in first in the West. That's your eighth seed team. Just a kick in the dick. And I'm glad, though, that it's Dallas taking on Vegas rather than the team that we're going to talk about now, Edmonton versus LA. Yeah. Edmonton's kind of the team that I'm really, obviously, that the Sens are not in the playoffs. Edmonton's the team that I want to see win it all. I think I'd love to see McDavid personally get his cup. He's done anything and everything any of us could have hoped for him to do at this point in his career. Almost at 1,000 points already, if you can believe that. And he still has absolutely nothing to show for in the NHL. He has a lot of individual hardware, but we all know for a fact he would trade it all in just for one look at a Stanley Cup ring on his ring finger. So Edmonton, if they had played Vegas, I'd be very worried for them. Now they're playing LA. I got Edmonton smoking them. Maybe LA gets one game. Edmonton in five, despite the fact that they're missing some pieces, in my opinion. I'm not sure that this is a championship-winning team. I want to believe that McDavid and Draisaitl and Zach Hyman, who's been an absolute miracle worker this year around the crease. Unbelievable year for him. I did not think he'd be able to top what he did last year in what looked like an out-of-nowhere breakout year. 80-plus point season. Comes out of nowhere to score 50. I mean, when you're riding shotgun to McJesus, it makes it a little easier to pot some bingos, but he's now proven that he can be a stud and hopefully a playoff performer for this team. Like I said, though, the depth up front worries me. I don't believe in the defense all that much either, and that goaltending, in my opinion, is not Stanley Cup caliber, but I'm still going for them. I think they can beat LA quite handily as they have in the last few years. But I don't want to sleep on LA too. Like, I like what they've built over there since they've retooled. Zach was talking about Lafreniere, how he's kind of emerged coming off of his number one overall draft positioning a few years ago. Quinton Byfield, number two overall pick, who is kind of looked at as well as a bust when you're looking at Stutzla, third overall, who's blossomed into a star, and Byfield had a slow start to his career. Finally, not popped off, but definitely took a big step forward in his development. And if he can have that kind of Tage Thompson-esque trajectory, if you can project for him to become that kind of like 80, 90-point player, I think you can do a hell of a lot worse at number two overall. So he's another X factor for LA. Adrian Kempe, super underrated, but I don't think they got what it takes to take down Edmonton. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on this series?
My thoughts is Oilers in six or seven. I think it's going to be a hard-fought war this series. I think the offensive might of the Oilers is going to be too much for LA, but I worry for the Oilers in the coming rounds if they advance. I don't think that'll be enough. Their first two lines won't be enough to compensate for the lack of a third and fourth line. I'm looking at their D lineup, like Bouchard, Ekholm, Nurse, CeCe, that's pretty solid, but doesn't have the same... Very solid, actually, offensively, too. Like, Bouchard and McDavid are an unreal combo. But, like, we know in the playoffs, the first two lines kind of cancel each other out. There's less offense. It's all about the goalies, the defensemen. It's all about the power play, the PK. Like, I think the Oilers have enough to defeat LA. They don't have enough to go maybe all the way. Like, I'm scared for them, Eric, like you, like Skinner and... I'm not sure. Although Matthias Ekholm, great addition. He's great defensively. That was great. McDavid needs to win. Like Gretzky told him, you're too good to not win a cup. Like, you're going to win one. But, like, when is this going to be, guys? It's going to be later on in his career, like Ovi. We'll see. I'm cheering for... My heart is cheering for Edmonton the whole way in the West. Like, I love the Oilers. I hope a Canadian team wins the cup except Toronto. But we're going to be talking about the other Canadian teams after. But yeah, I'm picking the Oilers. LA, I don't know much about them, guys. I just know them through fantasy, like players like Kempe and, well, Kopitar, ageless. Like, he's still producing. Guys like Danault, who's very responsible defensively. Like, those are hard players to play against. LA is a hard team to play against. So Oilers in six or seven for me. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really scared for Edmonton. I just have zero faith in them. That team is not built to go past. Like, they're going to win the first round. I believe in that. you know, when you got McDavid and Draisaitl, just that can beat an okay LA team again. Like, I don't think they got much over there. But after that, like, you're looking at the second line for Edmonton. Nugent Hopkins came back to reality this year. He had his 100-point season last year. Well, this year he dropped back to 67 points. So, and then you got Fogle on the other side. Like, what is this? We're talking super bad here? Nice. No, it's... and then you drop another line. Third line, nothing excites me. Fourth line, even worse. Yeah. Connor Brown, poor bastard. He's looking like he should be playing in the AHL. Never should have left Ottawa. No, it's honestly, I feel horrible for McDavid because there's zero chance they get out of the second round. I'm sorry to say it. Their decor does not excite me at all. Bouchard had a fantastic season offensively, but I can't say I've watched a ton of their games, but I've heard a lot of hate coming from his complete roundedness game. Mm-hmm. Ekholm has been up and down. He hasn't been as steady as has been his past years. Nurse, well, there's tons of haters on his game out there. I think it's mostly based off the monster salary he carries. Mm-hmm. And the goaltending, well, that we all know what that is for Edmonton. So you really hate to say it. I think they're taking LA rather quickly. I also think they're going to take them in five games just because I don't really like LA's team. And McDavid and Draisaitl are just going to play like 40 minutes between the two of them minimum. But it's very thin. I feel like this is the worst team they've had in past years, and I really don't like their chances. I didn't throw any love to Hyman there, of course. Fantastic season. He's unbelievable. He keeps getting better, and like people don't realize he's actually like 31 or 32 years old, and he keeps getting better. It's unbelievable. I got all the respect in the world for that guy, but I still don't think that Edmonton's got what it takes. They're not going too far this year. I hate to break it to us.
It's like you said, and as much as you can feel bad for McDavid, I'm heartbroken for him that this is what he has to play with. Like, he's in his prime, and this is what his GM rewards him with at the trade deadline, is trading for Adam Henrique.
Like, come on.
That's the big boy you're bringing in to win McDavid his first cup when he's only under contract for a few more years. I cannot imagine McDavid re-ups with this team if they don't surround him better in the next coming years. Even Draisaitl, I think
he has one year left.
Exactly. So if things don't show any signs of progress for this team, why would he stay there?
He's coming to Ottawa.
If Draisaitl goes, that signed, sealed, and delivered that McDavid is not re-signing there. Like, there's no chance he's staying if his boy is leaving. So I hope they can make something happen. But again, like, there's really not a lot to like in this lineup. Even if Evander Kane is in the lineup, I feel like he's causing more problems in the locker room than he's solving problems on the ice, kind of thing. So I am worried for them. And like you said, if they win this round, they'd most likely play, I think, the winner of the next series that we're going to talk about, Vancouver and Nashville. And we talked about Bouchard and fantasy hockey. If we're just going off fantasy hockey, we think Bouchard is the best defenseman in the world. Well, in this series, we're talking about two who actually have a legitimate claim at the best defenseman in the world because they not only put up great numbers offensively, but play extremely well in the defensive zone in Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi, the two top front runners for the Norris this year, I would guess. Now, Vancouver and Nashville. I've been a quite vocal hater of the Vancouver Canucks for no real reason, I think. I don't have a particular reason as to why I don't like Vancouver. Canadian team. They have great players. Like, I think Quinn Hughes is phenomenal. Elias Pettersson, amazing player who is fun to watch, defensively responsible, likable guy off the ice. Brock Besser, very impressive person off the ice, like everything he's endured. But for some reason, I just don't like Vancouver, and I'm picking Nashville in this series. I'm going for the underdog here, and not necessarily just to hate against Vancouver. I think Nashville, for the last, I want to say close to 30 games, have been on a heater.
I've been
playing phenomenal hockey, anchored by the top dog that I said, Roman Josi. UC Saros is a world-class goaltender, and Philip Forsberg has also very quietly had all-world year. I want to say close to 100 points, 48 or 49 goals, and has been just another MVP candidate for that team. Now, where I guess I'll put up the lineup there for these two teams, but on paper, I think Vancouver has the edge, but I kind of like what Nashville is bringing to the table with their other maybe lesser known guys. Not lesser known there, but Ryan O'Reilly I thought was a great signing for them too. A vet, Conn Smythe winning player who's two-way, knows how to win, a good leader, and can be put in all situations. But they also have a good mix of young guys in Tommy Novak, third line center, who may be a bit under the radar. My comparison for this guy, and again, I don't really watch many Nashville games, but I see this guy as like a Shane Pinto type player. Right-handed shot, kind of tall, sneaky skill, two-way player, and puts up decent numbers, who's only showing signs of getting better. So he's a guy to kind of look at for Nashville. Luke Evangelista, young guy, a lot of skill, a lot of potential, could be a coming out party in the playoffs. Jason Zucker, obviously a bit more older, has been around in many different playoff situations, does decently well in the regular season, could be solid for them. Gus Nyquist, also very quietly, I don't have the numbers in front of me, put up a fantastic season. I was so surprised to see how many points this guy had when I was just randomly looking up Nashville stats. But like I said, Josi is the lifeline for this team. Norris-worthy season. And Ryan McDonough, again, just Stanley Cup champ, two-way player, and, well, really a shutdown defenseman at this point there, but always reliable. A lot to like in Nashville. And I didn't really talk about Vancouver. I don't know if either of you guys want to touch on them, but that's my take. Nashville in seven.
Wow. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. I'll jump in there. Great thoughts, Eric. Definitely, like, I'm a huge Roman Josi guy. Been so since day one. He's just an unbelievable player. Just the heart and soul of that team. And when you look at him play, he brings everything to the game. Like, fantastic defensively, offensively. His numbers speaks for themselves. But I'm gonna throw some love here to Vancouver. I think it's pretty funny that we were listing off some top guys and we somehow forgot to mention 100-point getter JT Miller. But anyways, Vancouver has got a really good, well-rounded team with a few stars that have just been putting really impressive numbers. And they've been there the whole year. You know, you thought they were outliers. Mm-hmm. I thought so too. You thought that they were going to start falling off at some point, but they stuck around the whole year, which shows tremendous grit for a team to be able to do that for 82 games in a long, hard-fought season. So I'm going to give the edge to Vancouver here. I think they're taking this in six. Nashville would really need unbelievable series from their top guys in Forsberg, Josi, and Saros would have to play like the Vezina goalie that he can be. I just don't know if he can do it for a full series, weathering all these stars that Vancouver has. I gave some love to Josi. I got to give some love to Hughes. He is just insane, unbelievable, however you want to say it. His skating is just world class. He moves around the ice effortlessly, which makes him a great defender since he can always break up plays with his speed, his smarts. You got to give him all the love for a young captain too to really take over for his team when, what was it, last year? I forget where they finished, but the turnaround this team's had, you got to give some love to Rick Tocchet as well, who's done a fantastic job going over there, giving them some stability on the bench, giving them a good system to work with. No, I think, like I said, when a team does this for a full season, especially after the year they had last year, I got to give them some love, and I think they're taking this in six.
Love it. I'm going to talk about the top three centers on Nashville. O'Reilly, Sissons, Novak, I don't think match up at all to Miller, Pettersson, and Elias Lindholm. Like, I think Vancouver has so much more depth than Nashville. I don't know about the Demko situation. Is he going to be back for game one? I haven't done research on that, but I think Vancouver is just too strong for Nashville. Although, Eric, that's a good point. Nashville's been super hot in the second half of the season, and you could ride that like in the playoffs. playing like a team, like a well-organized platoon, a war platoon, you know. But, like, Vancouver, like Zach, you said, playing well all year. So I like their D-core, too. Hughes, Roenick, and Tyler Myers, Zadorov, Ian Cole. Like, I don't even know who Ian Cole was, but he's a reliable defensive defenseman, right?
So yeah, he's just
guys
a,
like that.
A journeyman.
Yeah, so journeyman, exactly. I like Vancouver, unlike you, Eric. I don't know where the hate came from.
it's completely unjustified.
Maybe because we can never watch their games, they're so late, so we don't give a shit about them. But I want a Canadian team to win the cup. I think Vancouver's our best hope, guys, really. And I'm going to cheer for them all the way, too. So I'm picking Vancouver in seven. It's going to be a battle.
It makes complete sense, honestly. And honestly, I would say Quinn Hughes deserves the Norris this year. I think it's his. I think he ended up with the most points, too, which I think it's not necessarily what they should be rewarding on who's the best defenseman, but if you look at Hughes' numbers, he also doesn't get scored on. His plus minus is
insane.
The charts, and has been for the last few years. So I think he deserves a lot more respect. And he obviously does get a lot of credit and respect for how good he is, but deserves even more. And I'm very excited to get to watch him and his team play in the playoffs coming up. So it should be a good series for sure. Now, last series, another Canadian team, the Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanche. So I've been going first for a lot of these series there, Matt. I'll throw it over to you again to reverse cycle here. Jets against Colorado. What are you thinking here?
This is where I'm conflicted, guys, because I'm a huge Colorado fan, but Winnipeg's a Canadian team that I like too. Although Winnipeg would be the Canadian team that's like lower on the lower portion of who I like. Like it'd probably be Leafs last, then Montreal, then Winnipeg. I like all the other teams more. Colorado, love. I'm a big MacKinnon guy. Okay, I've said this before. Love MacKinnon. Love Cale Makar. It'd be cool to see them win the cup again. I don't think Colorado, though, is the same Colorado as, like, a couple years ago. Like, I don't know if it's their goaltending or they just haven't been playing the way they should. You know, they should be dominating. Although MacKinnon had a dominant season. Like, he could be the MVP of the league. Like, him and Kucherov are right up there. You know, only separated by, what, 3-4 points. So, I like Winnipeg's depth over Colorado's, though, for this matchup. You know, Scheifele, Monahan, Adam Lowry, third line center, and then like Kyle Connor. But then guys like Velarde, who I don't even know, but like he was quietly scoring a lot this year. Nikolai Ehlers, Niederreiter, veterans like Toffoli. I don't know. Winnipeg's got a scary team offensively, and they play well as a unit, coached well, good defensemen, nothing flashy like my boy Dylan DeMello. Like the Sens should have never have gotten rid of him. DeMello is so like good in the plus-minus category, right? He's just reliable playing with Morrissey, too. The Mathot to the Carlson, you know? Every team needs that. Guys like Brendan Dillon, I don't know, came out of nowhere in my... I don't know these guys, but I've been watching them in fantasy. Anyways, I like Winnipeg over Colorado, guys, to sum up. I don't know what's going on with Colorado. Maybe I'm totally wrong, and you're going to say Colorado's going to bash Winnipeg, but I'm picking Winnipeg over this. More, they're going to play better as a team and better coaching, I guess. What do you guys think?
So I'll jump in here and say, Matt, I don't think you're crazy because I'm also going with Winnipeg in this series. And this is my number one reason why. We're looking at the goalies here. It's the biggest difference, I think, in like when you're looking at every series, the matchup here, it's kind of like Boston-Toronto goaltending differential, but I think it might be even bigger. You're looking at the season that Connor Hellebuck had, who's one of the best American goalies of all time. He could easily win the Vezina Trophy this year. He's fourth in the league for goals against average. He's, I think, similar number. He's second for save percentage. So top three goalie this season. You're looking at Alexander Georgiev, who possibly had the worst season of his career. I think, let me get the stat here. I got to scroll way down here to find his stats just to let you guys know. 35th ranked goalie, goals against average, and he's got an .897 save percentage. Those are Korpisalo-like goaltending numbers. So just imagine if he was playing on the Sens, people. No, this is the biggest lopsided matchup in the series is when you're looking at the goalies. I'll give the edge to Colorado offensively. They don't have a McKinnon. Rantanen also. You know, I love Connor. I love a few of their other forwards up front for Winnipeg. They got great depth, but they don't have that star power. When you're looking at the defense, Morrissey is no Makar, but you got to give love to Morrissey. He's a really, really, really good defensive guy as well. He's really good on the offensive side as well. So he does a little bit of everything. He's very underrated. People don't talk about him enough because he's in Winnipeg. So that gap is a little closer. But when you're looking at the goalies, Georgiev's been shit all year, and you can't expect him to just turn it around in the playoffs. A couple of games ago, they lost. Winnipeg beat Colorado 7-0, and a large part was due to some horrible early goals. And when that happens in the playoffs, your team is deflated. Nobody has faith in you. No, I think Winnipeg is going to take this one, even though Colorado has two of possibly the best five players in the world. I still give the edge to Winnipeg based off the horrible goaltending issues they have. And they don't have their king captain Landeskog anymore that they used to have, which was a major force in the playoffs. I'll send it to you, Eric.
Yeah. So if I'm Colorado, I'm ecstatic that I got smoked 7-0 at home by the Winnipeg Jets. That's bulletin board material. Everyone's got to reset. You know, regular season's all fine and dandy. Hellebuck's going to win the Vezina, but it doesn't matter. It's what you do in the playoffs that is what people will remember. Do people talk about Kucherov's 126-point season the year they got swept against Columbus? They do not. They talk about them getting swept by Columbus. I think Colorado has what it takes to dig deep and take down the Winnipeg Jets. I do completely agree, though. Hellebuck's that X factor. He's definitely way better than Georgiev. No questions asked. But I think the dog wants it. He feels like he got robbed of the Art Ross trophy that he probably thought he was going to get based on how much he was dominating night in, night out. He also got robbed of his home point streak that if you run back the tape, he should have gotten an assist on one of the goals that they didn't give to him. He's still holding a grudge over the league on that. And he might also lose the heart. So he's already got his cup, but you know he's competing with Sid to just continue to stockpile the accolades and the rings. He wants to get to that Cole Harbour god status that, you know, he still needs to chip away at a few more milestones if he wants to reach that Sid the Kid level. So also talking about Morrissey not being as good as Makar, 100% agreed. You can also make the argument that he's not even as good as Devontae's. So I think that Colorado has a more well-rounded defensive core. Josh Manson used to be more of a big impact defensive player. He's very physical. I feel like he's kind of lost a step, but you do need those kind of physical defensive D in the playoffs that I'm not really sure that Winnipeg has. Logan Stanley, the guy's just a brickhead, 6'7".
Yeah, you need those on the team, though.
Yeah, taking untimely penalties. But anyways, I do agree, though, with the points that are made about Colorado not being the same team that they were when they won the Cup. No Landeskog, no Kadri, too, is kind of one that people point to. That they're really missing that second-line center. Casey Mittelstadt, I think when he got over to Colorado, he was decent the first few games, but apparently has not been a factor whatsoever recently. So he's someone that you would need to see a bit more from. Curious to see what he has, if he has another gear to his game. If Nichushkin can be an X factor for them too, if he's solid, I think that can help them. Them losing Drouin, who when they acquired him starting the season, I really didn't think much of. People talking about rekindling that Halifax Moosehead connection. Like that's almost a decade in the past and not really thinking that that's going to translate over, but it turns out it did. So they're going to miss him against Winnipeg. But I think that off the strength of McKinnon and Rantanen and their studs on D, that is the foundation to overpower a Winnipeg Jet team. That, like Kyle Connor, he's a very good player, but he's, in my opinion, not even close to Rantanen or McKinnon. Like, there's tiers separating those players. Scheifele, I think, He's just getting older. Not last year, I feel like, was a complete fluke in terms of offensive production. And I also prefer Colorado to Winnipeg. Like, that's another. I don't really care much for Winnipeg. So, bias, maybe. I'm going for Colorado here. I think they get it done in seven. I think this is going to be a battle. And Georgiev is going to have to find better gear if they want a chance, though. I agree.
Well said, Eric. I like that. Like I said, this is a tough one to pick. Like, I like both. So, you said a lot of great things there, Eric.
Yeah, no, and also Colorado has a lot to prove given they lost to Seattle last year, yeah. Which it's embarrassing in its own self. But still, I'm still not convinced there, but I believe that Winnipeg's gonna do what they need to get the win this first round.
Yeah, like you've both said, one of the closest series of the whole playoffs. So I'm looking forward to this one. For sure. So I guess that wraps up the West now. Do you guys all have a pick for who you think is going to make it to the finals out of the West? Matt, if you can go around.
I think it's going to be Florida versus Dallas.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I just think, like I said, Florida I already talked about. Just Dallas is it's their time to become like the new. Dallas is going to be good. Dallas is going to be in the Final Four for many years to come, I think. I think this is going to be their emergence, finally. They might be like the new Tampa of the West. You know, they're always going to be buzzing around the end. I think Florida's going to win the Cup this year, guys. That's my prediction. Like, Florida over Dallas. Two Southern teams, it's weird. But, like, yeah, those are my two. What do you guys got?
I like it. Okay, I'll go... going to sound pretty lame here, but I also got Dallas making it to the finals. And I think Dallas, so I said Carolina, Dallas beats Carolina in the final. I think, like I said, I've said okay. For a while, I love the makeup of Dallas's team. I think they have it all at all positions, youth, vets, all of it. Not going to repeat myself again. Dallas over Carolina in six games. And going to open the eyes to a lot of people about how good a lot of their players are. Like, Rupe Hintz, I feel like, does not get talked about whatsoever. Amazing two-way centerman. Very excited to watch him play in the playoffs again. So, Dallas over Carolina. It's my pick.
Yeah, well, I hate to be boring, but I'm jumping on the Dallas bandwagon, which, I mean, I already had made this decision A couple of weeks ago, just knowing how deep their team is, and I've been able to watch them play a couple of times, and it's just top to bottom. They got it all here. And again, just to keep that going, I really think they're going to take over Florida if that's what the matchup is. I think Dallas is Stanley Cup champions this year, just based off of what we've talked about throughout this episode. Their depth... You need that in the playoffs. You can't rely on one guy or two guys for that matter. You really need a full team like Vegas did last year. They had a number of guys stepping up throughout their lineup, a balanced decor, and Oettinger will be the guy. He is a phenomenal talent. He's got the size, the athletic ability in nets. He's really the real package. Dallas walked away from the 2017 NHL draft with three NHL superstars between Oettinger, Heiskanen, and Robertson. They really got the complete package in all those players. And like you mentioned, Rupe Hintz, last year he was an absolute all-star in the playoffs, and I have no reason to believe he won't be the same this year. Plus the emergence of some of their younger guys. They got that veteran leadership in Jamie Benn that will go to war every single game. He's playing with the two young guys. Best believe nothing's going to happen to them with him. He's a murderer on the ice. I'm pretty sure he almost killed someone a couple of years ago with a vicious cross check to the back of the neck. I can't remember to who. Yeah. Not that I support those types of plays, but hey, you need that viciousness in the playoffs. And when your captain's doing stuff, not necessarily like that, but just that intensity, it carries throughout the entire team. I have all the faith in the world in Dallas. And getting that win over Vegas will just jumpstart their playoff run, knocking off the defending champions, all the momentum in the world, all the confidence. No, I really think it's their year.
Yeah, I mean, great picks all around. Pretty, a lot of similarities. We got two Floridas, three Dallases, one Carolina. But I think all great picks and going to be some fun hockey to watch. Cam, enjoying this Carolina game right now. Yeah. Islanders 2-1 Carolina at the time of discussing. But Toronto-Boston coming up soon. So, no, great discussion, guys. Any random recommendations you wanted to get into? Anything you want to share that you've been watching? Zach, do you have anything that you want to share? If not, if you need the thing, I got a couple I can rattle off.
I got one thing. It's just extremely random. Not at all what you guys are going to be thinking. It's not TV or movie related. Oh. It's a new purchase that I have at my house. It's the Ninja Creamy. This is an ice cream making machine. Unbelievable. You want a nice healthy snack at the end of your night? A nice, I make these, like, it's very popular. It has been for the last year or so online on TikTok, Instagram, all those videos. People making recipes for like healthy alternative ice creams that taste amazing. You know, you just mix like some milk, protein powder. I put like some collagen in there. Other few recipes, you know, or other few ingredients. I don't want to give it all away there. You can contact me for some fire recipes. But you got like 40, 30, 50 grams of protein in there. You can limit the sugar and it tastes phenomenal. No, it's something I recommend. Just got it recently and that's my random, extremely random recommendation. You guys should check it out.
Okay, right on, man.
I never knew that existed.
Yeah, exactly. No, we always welcome any kind of recommendation. Nothing is too random in this segment. I'll just go with one show that I just binged in 3 days, actually. You might have seen it on Prime Video. Season 1 of the new show, Fallout. Have you heard of this, Matt? No, Zach hasn't talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually finished it, too.
Let's go. Nice. So, yeah, no, it was a great show. It's based on it's a video game adaptation. So, there's a lot of games in this series. There's, like, Fallout 4, I know, is a big one. Fallout New Vegas. Never played any of these games. It's pretty well known for, like, the big robot suit that someone is in. Like, that's kind of a trademark for the show. It's kind of a nuclear apocalypse show that's set in 2270. And mankind obviously is now living underground or above ground. And there's been mutations that have happened for the ones who are exposed to the radiation above ground. So there's a lot going on. And it's kind of, it reminded me a bit of another video game adaptation show, The Last of Us. It also made me think of the show Silo on Apple TV, where people are living underground, not sure what's above ground after some sort of catastrophe. But no, it was a super easy show to binge, I found. Very fun, a lot of mystery. The lead actress, Ella Purnell, I was a huge fan of. She crushed it. Walton Coggins, your boy, Matt, he was unbelievable in this. Absolute scene stealer as the ghoul. Just like kind of like a cowboy figure who's been disfigured by the apocalypse, the nuclear apocalypse. Kyle MacLachlan, I always forget how to say his name. He's in there too from Twin Peaks. It's phenomenal. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of intrigue. It's from the same creators as a show at Westworld. Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother. So kind of some similarities there. You can tell like how the way they told the story that they drew from like the pull the curtain from under you or the rug from under your feet, like the surprises and stuff. So it's always something to keep you interested. So I really enjoyed it. Easy show to watch, Fallout on Prime. Matt, do you want to talk about it too a bit? Or?
Yeah, that's the show I was going to bring up. You just said it, secrets and intrigue. Like every episode I was intrigued to know, like find out more about the world, what's going on. You find out more and more every episode. And to me, it felt fresh and original and never boring for that reason. Jumping back and forth between the characters was cool. Flashback, presence day stuff, like everything. Like I actually stole the Knight and Squire thing from the show from Fallout. Vegas Knights thing. Nice. Totally stole that from that. Cool dynamics. I wanted more, to be honest, but I'll have to wait for season 2. But I don't know anything about the video game, guys. So, like, to me, it was all brand new, fresh, really cool. And I hear it caters to the video game, to the fanboys of Fallout really well. So that's a plus. Fallout, really recommend it. I'll recommend a music album then, since you already talked about Fallout. But J. Cole, Might Delete Later, I thought that album hit hard. It was really a fun listen. I've listened to it like 5-6 times now. He disses Kendrick Lamar in the last track. That one I thought went a bit hard, like really harsh, and I don't even know what their feud is, but ripping Kendrick and Yuan in that track. But yeah, J. Cole might delete later. Really dug the album. I don't know if you liked it too, Eric or Zach. I thought it was solid.
I liked it a lot, honestly. Like, I've kind of been harsh on J. Cole as someone who's always talked about as like one of the best rappers in the game right now. I've kind of said that I don't really agree that he's one of the best ones, but he's just in that spot. And Might Delete Later was a good, in my opinion, return to form for him of like rapping hard and making good catchy songs too. I found lyrical, he kind of had it all in there. I enjoyed it a lot. The Kendrick diss song, he actually took it down from streaming. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not on the album anymore.
Oh no, I didn't.
So he actually apologized like 2 days after he dropped the song, saying like he felt horrible about dissing Kendrick. It's kind of been a huge storyline in the rap game for the last like month. The Kendrick, Drake, well really Drake has been in the middle of all this. Kendrick dissed Drake and J. Cole, and then J. Cole responded. So Drake has now dissed Kendrick. Everyone's waiting on the Kendrick response. I can't wait for Kendrick to diss him again. But anyways, something to follow. Yeah, no, Might Delete Later. Great album. I enjoy it a lot. That's pretty much all I got to say on it. But that's also something to monitor. Follow up with what's going on with Drake and all that. It's made me go back and listen to all of Kendrick's albums. Because in that diss song, J. Cole says, like, oh, your last album was horrible. Your first one was good. Your second one put us all to sleep. But you tricked everyone to thinking it was a classic. Your third one was, like, that was your prime. J. Cole writing that line had to know he was lying to himself, because all of Kendrick's albums are phenomenal albums. Like, you cannot take anything away from Kendrick Lamar. In my opinion, he's the best rapper alive to this day. Whenever he drops, it's always fire. Even his last one, which I didn't love that much, is still very good. Like I said, I've gone back, listened. I'd recommend that. Go back through all of Kendrick's albums. If you haven't heard them all, amazing, amazing albums. Good Kid, Mad City.
Nice.
Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't listened to it yet.
I'll throw another one more in the alley of Zach's wave, non-TV or movies or music. This new restaurant that Andy and I actually went to yesterday for my birthday, Nagi Sushi. It's a spot on St. Joseph in Orleans. It's like a traditional Japanese sushi spot. Very, very good. It opened up not too long, I want to say a month ago. Very small, kind of old. It really makes you think, like, if you're in Japan, like, it has that aesthetic down of just tight quarters. The chef is outside in the restaurant. You can see him preparing the food. It's really cool to see him just like lobbing off the cuts of red tuna. The meat, the seafood just looks vibrant, delicious. It just looks like authentic and all that there. So Nagi Sushi on St. Joseph, no free ads. Strong recommend if you want some good Japanese sushi.
Is it like you need to make a reservation, or is it jam? Well, I guess if it's small, like how many tables were there? How many do you think were in that restaurant? Like 30, 40, not even?
No, definitely not 40. Maybe like 20 to 30 or so. There aren't that many tables. I don't have a head count right away, but it's pretty small. We did not have a reservation, and it was pretty bumping. Like, we were sitting at the bar, so all the tables were kind of taken. Yeah, and we also went like in the middle of a day on a Friday there. So I'm imagining that if you go on the weekend, you probably would need a reservation. But yeah, would definitely recommend. It was really good. Not that expensive too, like reasonably priced, I'd say. I mean, sushi's still expensive to begin with there, but
you're right.
Usually worth it.
That's awesome to hear.
I guess that's all I got to there. Fallout, check it out. Kendrick Lamar albums, Nagi Sushi.
Actually, you know what? I'm surprised we haven't talked about this as a random recommendation, but we just went to the movies and saw a fire movie. Dev Patel starring, screenplay and directing in The Monkey Man. Fantastic action movie. I don't want to get into it too much there. I want to let you guys go into it, and I'm a pretty terrible movie describer, so maybe Eric, you want to shoot off a little picture for our listeners here?
Sure. I mean, it's a classic action revenge story, I would say. I went into it really not knowing what the plot of this movie was, just knowing that it was like a John Wick style action, nonstop action movie. It wasn't exactly that. It's kind of this guy in India who is living out in the gutter, kind of. He's trying to climb up some social ladder for some reason in this hotel to get revenge on someone who's wronged him and his family when he was younger. The story is kind of told through intermittent flashbacks as we're moving along, seeing his development in the movie, and then piecing together what happened to him as a kid. And there's, again, it's very violent. There are extremely bloody sequences and very well-directed, insane action sequences in here, reminiscent of a John Wick, but much more fist, like handheld fighting, not really guns, I would say. And there's also like a street fighting aspect to it as well. This guy, our protagonist, played by Dev Patel, is he has like a monkey mask that he wears, so he's got the Monkey Man moniker when he gets into the ring and fights to make his living. And yeah, he goes through the hero's journey of just being beaten to shit, pumped into submission, and then finding his inner strength to eventually go down a path to get revenge against the ones who have wronged him, like I said. So, crazy journey, really a lot of fun, and definitely a movie to go see in theaters. Strong recommend. Did you get to check it out, Matt, or have you heard of it?
No, I have not. I think I'm going to love this movie because I love a good revenge movie, action, martial arts. And I love that Dev Patel now is behind the chair too, like directing him, like starring and directing. Love that. Always been a fan of Dev Patel since Slumdog Millionaire. So that's awesome to hear. This movie's right up my alley. Violent revenge. That's, what more do you want in a movie?
Exactly. Maybe The Green Knight could have used a bit more of that to make it a bit more interesting. Right. For you. Haven't seen it, but it's now it's on the list. I'm a Dev Patel fan now, so. So I got to check out
If you have insomnia, check it out. If you have insomnia, you can check out Green Knight. Yeah.
It's fun to get back into the theater. And I got like Civil War is a movie I've got queued up in the theater. But there hasn't been that much out this year that's been that strong. So I'm still waiting to see what the big movies of 2024 are going to be.
Yeah, no, always a great time coming on here. I love chatting with you guys. It's always fun, and we got a good laugh. Talk about something I always love talking about, hockey, obviously. So thanks for having me on. Hope we can do this again. And playoffs, best time of the year, like you mentioned, so it's going to be a fun ride.
Well said. I think we can definitely arrange to have you on again. You have my number. So, Matt, as per usual, crushed it. Any final notes for the listeners?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Zach, for coming on. You're definitely coming on and more times because it's always a great episode with you. I hope all the listeners enjoyed our hockey talk and you guys are as excited as we are for the hockey playoffs. So, yeah, just thank you. And, yeah.
Well said. So, yeah, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for episodes dropping every 2 Mondays. Continue to just say enjoy the playoffs. We're here, and yeah, love you all. Peace.